And then 8 through 21, Philip has a question. And then in the part that we just read, Judas has a question for Jesus. And I think it's really important to set up this specific scripture passage with a little bit of historical context. So John's gospel was written somewhere around the 80s, or early 80s, 90, after Jesus was born, right? So less than 100 years after the life of Jesus, and it was probably written in Ephesus. And this was a period of time when the house churches were being evicted from the synagogues. And hostility was high, and there was a lot of suspicion of one another going on. This was the life of John's community in the first century. The house churches were starting to be divided, and these churches were keeping clear boundaries that separated them from the synagogue and also from the Roman temples in Ephesus. And so they started to have a lot of conflict. Can you imagine that in the life of the church? People dividing themselves and having conflicts amongst each other. That does not happen in the church, right? We're all one big happy church family. No. But they were really trying to figure out who they were. What is my identity? Okay? So you can imagine when John is writing his gospel, this is what is going on in the life of the church. So when he's trying to tell us about Jesus, he wants to answer these questions about division and identity. Now, I think it's interesting. This is a lectionary text for this week, meaning that we have the Revised Common Lectionary in the church, and so every week there's a gospel reading. And this week's gospel reading starts in 23. What's interesting is that verse 22 is the question, and verse 23 starts the answer. So the lectionary writers, or organizers, not writers, they left out the question, and we just get the answer. Does that seem kind of strange? I think so. So probably what we need to do is figure out what the question is that Jesus is answering. Have you ever flipped to the back of a math book? What do you see in the back? The answers to all the odd problems, right? Now, if you just looked and it said 3, answer 14, do you have any idea what the question is? No, right? So getting the answer doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless we have the question. So let's read verse 22 of this text, John 14, verse 22. It says, Judas, not Iscariot, so a different Judas, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world? How will you reveal yourself to us and not the world? I think what is so interesting about Judas's question is it's kind of a selfish question. He's asking, Jesus, how are you going to reveal yourself to me and to my group and not to everyone else? Like somehow their church, their little house group, is more important than everyone else. And Jesus does the thing that Jesus always does, is Jesus doesn't actually answer the question. Do you notice that when you read the Gospels? Jesus like never really answers the question that was asked. He gives a bigger answer. He gives an answer that says, okay, you're kind of missing the point with that question. Because the point is not how I'm going to reveal myself just to you and your group, not what makes you more special, but here's what I'm doing for the world. Here's what I'm doing for all of my people. And what Jesus says is what Helen just read for us. It says, Jesus answered him. Jesus answers Judas. And he says, those who love me, those are the ones who are going to keep my word, and the Father will love them. and we will come to them and make our home with them. And then he says, whoever does not love me, they do not keep my words. If we look at this church in Ephesus in the John community that has been splitting themselves off from the synagogue and from Rome and also from each other, it's not necessarily about what your group identity is. It's about one thing and one thing only. Do you love God? And if you love God, you will keep God's commandments. That's it. That's the mark of being God's people, to love God and to keep God's commandments. And what is the greatest commandment that we learn in the Gospels? To love the Lord your God, right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor, what? As yourself. On all of these hang the rest of the law and the prophets. This is what Jesus is saying to us. Love me and follow my law. And right before that, we learned this last week, right? What is the final command, the new command that Jesus gives to his disciples? To love one another as I have loved you. That's what he says in John 13, right after he washes their feet. A love that's supposed to be a love out of service, a love that's humble, a love that gives in such a way that you probably don't deserve it, you probably haven't earned it, but Jesus says love anyway. These are the commandments that Jesus has offered, and he says, that's how you know, that's who I'm going to reveal myself to if you follow my commandments. It doesn't matter which of the house churches you belong to. It doesn't matter if you're United Methodist or if you're First Baptist or if you're Presbyterian. If you love God and follow God's commandments, this is the promise that God gives to us. I think it's interesting that Jesus offers these final words to his disciples because he really wants them. He spent 3 years teaching them, right? They've had a 3-year intensive course with Jesus. Now, in 3 years, you can get your medical degree, right? Like, you can become a doctor. So in 3 years of intensive 24/7 time with Jesus, I would hope the disciples would have learned a lot, right? But this is, maybe. But this is kind of his final words. His final lecture. And it comes down to the most important stuff. And what Jesus chooses to use this time for is to offer these wonderful words of comfort to his disciples. He doesn't scold them in these final moments like he often does throughout his Gospels if you read them. He doesn't use this time to try to debate the semantics of a particular word in a particular scripture passage. He doesn't use this time to point fingers because he knows Judas is about to betray him, right? He knows Peter is about to deny him. He could easily go off on a tirade about all this, right? He could complain about his untimely death that he's about to experience. But instead, Jesus uses this as a moment of comfort. If you read, have you ever read the Message translation of the Bible before? You ever heard of that translation? I often use the NRSV, but I think it's really interesting, the Message version of this text here. If I can get my iPad to open. Hallelujah, it worked. In the text that we read, it says, Jesus tells them, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. I do not give as the world gives. But in the Message, it says this: I don't leave you the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught. I doubt very many of us remember the first time our parents ever left us with another caregiver. I know Emerson doesn't because she was like 2 days old. Not really, she was like a few weeks old. And we left her for a few hours. She does not remember that. But probably all of us remember a time in which we felt, or we remember our parents leaving us, whether it was a first day of school, right? Anybody ever experienced that? And I'm sure many of us remember a time in our lives when we might have felt abandoned or betrayed or left utterly and completely alone. Maybe literally alone, or maybe it's because we were just so sad and down that we just felt alone. The world gives in ways that are often painful, right? In the world, we experience war and violence. We experience death and destruction. We experience loss and trauma and hopelessness and despair. But Jesus says, I don't give as the world gives. I'm not going to leave you with pain and trauma. No, instead, I'm going to send an advocate to be with you. I'm going to bring you peace, Jesus says. This final word from Jesus tells us that Jesus is fundamentally different from the rest of the world. In the world's version of Jesus' death, it is brutal, right? Have you ever watched a movie about the crucifixion? Have you ever seen images like The Passion of the Christ or something like that? It will bring you to tears to see the way in which they treated Jesus. The way they beat him and mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head and nailed his hands and his feet to a cross. That is trauma right there, right? If you were one of the disciples standing in that moment, you would have something far greater than PTSD, right? It would be one of the most traumatic experiences you would ever have. But Jesus knows that that's what's about to happen, and yet he says to them, I'm not going to leave you feeling alone or hopeless or abandoned. I'm not going to leave you in pain and despair. I'm going to leave you with peace. And I want you to imagine that cross scene for a moment. Does peace come to mind? No. I want you to think about a moment in your life in which there was some trauma, or which you felt abandoned or alone. Maybe it was a broken relationship. Maybe it was the loss of someone you care about deeply. God promises you peace in those moments and in future moments. Sometimes it's really hard to hold on to because of all of the loudness and the craziness of the world that engulfs us and consumes us. But Jesus says this, I am sending an advocate. I am sending an advocate. I am sending the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will be with you. The Spirit will be with you when I am marched with my cross. The Spirit will be with you when I am beaten. The Spirit will be with you when I am hung. The Spirit will be with you when they pierce my side. The Spirit will be with you when I take my final breath. And when I am placed in the tomb, the Spirit will be with you because I am leaving you with peace. We sang this morning. I did not know Jake was going to sing this when I planned this morning, but he chose Let There Be Peace on Earth, right? And in that song, it says, let there be peace on earth and what? And let it begin with me. We are called in John's gospel here. It says, those who love me and keep my word, those are my people. We are called as the body of Christ to share the love of Christ with others. And that too means extending them peace and words of comfort. There are people in our community that are hurting. Both here at Broadway, we hear their prayer requests all the time, right? And also out in the world. And I want us to imagine for a moment what it would be like to be a little bit like Jesus here. Instead of saying things like, I told you so, or instead of asking questions that make somebody feel like their actions have led to a problem, maybe instead we come and we say to them, peace I leave with you and peace I give to you. This is our calling as the body of Christ. And this is how I would encourage you on this Sunday morning. As you think about the craziness and the hecticness of your lives, as you think about the beginnings of summer, right? And marking off your vacations on the calendar and all of the other things that you have going on, I want you to pray about how God is calling you to be a peacemaker. How God is calling you to be comforting to those you encounter. And how God is calling you to be with others so that they do not feel abandoned, so that they are not upset, and so that they are not distraught. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, on this day, we seek the presence of your Holy Spirit, the advocate that we know that you sent to be with us. You were with the frightened disciples in an upper room. You, O God, were with the bereaved and the traumatized disciples at the foot of the cross. You were with the abandoned disciples through Holy Saturday and with the amazed disciples on Easter Sunday. Be with us now, O God. Help us to receive the peace that Jesus has given to us. Help us to be truly Easter people in this world, O God. Give us courage to move beyond ourselves. Give us courage to walk in this world. Give us courage to love as Christ have loved us. And know, O God, that we are never, ever alone. Because you are with us. And help us to go into the world and to be with others so that they never feel alone as well. We pray all this through the crucified and risen Savior. Amen.